Today on The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe.
So there are these various references in the gospel to our Lord Jesus Christ saying he was going to be killed and he was going to be resurrected. Christ is risen. He rose from the dead as he said. Now that means and underlines this important truth in the Christian faith that God can always be trusted.
Welcome to The Verdict, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor John Monroe. The climax of the Gospel of Matthew, and indeed the most important event in human history, is the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And today we'll discuss the eternal impact and what the resurrection of Jesus demonstrates to everyone. Now, here's Pastor John Monroe to introduce today's lesson titled, He Has Risen.
We've almost concluded our series in the Gospel according to Matthew and come today to the climax of the Gospel, the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's impossible to overemphasize the resurrection of Jesus. Writing to the Corinthians, Paul says, "And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching has been in vain and your faith is in vain." That is, without the resurrection, there's no authentic Christianity. Many people see the Christian faith as a moral compass, but that is not the heart of the Christian faith. Our faith is not just principles and platitudes, but rather a living faith in one who's alive forevermore. So today, let's think of the resurrection of Jesus.
Matthew reaches its triumphant climax with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus the Christ, the Son of God. To think of Jesus without the resurrection reduces Jesus to just another prophet, a guru, perhaps a miracle worker. But right at the beginning of this gospel, as Matthew begins to write it, he says in chapter 1, verse 1, the book of the genealogy of Jesus, the Christ, the Son of David, the Son of Abraham. This is not merely Jesus, he is the Christ. He is the Son of God. He is God incarnate. And in chapter 1, Matthew reminds us that he's given this name, Jesus, this wonderful name, Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So it is a historical fact that Jesus died, he was buried, and he rose from the dead. And the wonder of the gospel is that this living Christ enters into a living and an eternal relationship with his disciples through the power of the Holy Spirit. So the Christian faith must never be reduced, as it sometimes is, to do this or don't do that. The Christian faith is understanding that there is nothing, please hear me, there is nothing that we can do to save ourselves. And we depend for our salvation, for the forgiveness of sins, for eternal life, not on what we have done or ever will do, but on what God has accomplished in his Son, Jesus Christ, through his death, through his burial, and as we'll see today, his resurrection. And by faith, we receive then what God in Christ has done. And we then live a life of faith, a life day by day, depending on God's power and grace. Now we've come almost to the end of Matthew, certainly the last chapter, Matthew chapter 28. And if you have your Bible, I invite you to turn there, Matthew 28, the first gospel. Matthew and Mark and Luke are what we call the synoptic gospels, and they were written within 30 years of the death of Jesus. Think of that. Within 30 years of the death of our Lord Jesus Christ, Matthew, Mark, and Luke are writing the Gospels that we have. These are accurate accounts of what actually happened, far better than the historical documents of any other religion, as we would call them, our founding documents. The Roman historian Tacitus, the Jewish historian Josephus, they themselves write of the death, crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus. Historical facts. The Christian faith is not based on some whim, It's not based on some ideology. It's based on historical fact that this man, God incarnate, came and died on the cross for our sins, and he was buried, and as we'll see today, and as we've been singing, he was raised from the dead. Let me read with you Matthew 28. We're going to read the first 15 verses, Matthew 28, verses 1 through 15. Now after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He's not here, for he has risen as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell the disciples that he has risen from the dead. And behold, he's going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I have told you." So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to tell the disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." While they were going, behold, some of the guard went into the city and told the chief priests all that had taken place. And when they had assembled with the elders and taken counsel, they gave a sufficient sum of money to the soldiers and said, "Tell people, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we were asleep. And if this comes to the governor's ears, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble." So they took the money and did as they were directed. And this story has been spread among the Jews to this day. He has risen as he said. Christ has risen as he said. Now, I want us, first of all, to understand the basic point that we see throughout the gospel and is reinforced here, that the resurrection assures us that Jesus is Lord, that he is the Christ, that he is the Son of God. Matthew begins his gospel by telling us that Jesus is the Christ, that he is the Messiah, long-promised Messiah, and the resurrection assures us that Jesus is no ordinary man. He is the Lord, he is the Christ. Now, many religions and many people can talk about Jesus. You talk to a cult, you talk to those of other religions, and they will be quite happy to talk about Jesus. But to those of us who love Jesus Christ, to those of us who are following him, he is not just Jesus. He is Jesus. That's a beautiful name. The name means Savior. But he's more than Jesus. Matthew is telling us he is the Christ. He is the Messiah. He's the Son of God. He is God incarnate. He is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our King. Matthew has been repeatedly telling us that Jesus comes and announces that the kingdom of God is at hand. He's the King of kings and Lord of lords. He is our Savior, our magnificent Lord Jesus Christ. And say, our friends who are not following Jesus, well, why do you think Jesus is different from any other religious figure? The bodily resurrection of Jesus, please understand, the bodily resurrection of Jesus proves that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. We saw a couple of weeks ago as we looked at the end of Matthew chapter 27 that when Jesus is buried, when he's put in that tomb, not only is there a great stone rolled over it, it is secured, it is sealed, it is guarded. And when these women come on the first day of the week, what do they see? That the stone was rolled away. No wonder the guards were like dead men as they stood keeping watch, and the angel, like lightning, comes and descends from heaven, rolls away the stone and sits on it as if to say, "Do you think you can stop us?" I think Matthew must have had a sense of humor that he records, and the angel sat on it. And the stone was rolled away, of course, not to let Jesus out, but to prove to these women and others that the tomb was empty. No problem to God to remove a great stone. The angel comes, moves it, and sits on it and says, you know this verse 6? He is not here, for he has risen as he said. I want to emphasize that today. He has risen as he said. Come see the place where he lay, verse 6. And the enemies of Jesus, of course, could never produce the body of Jesus. They had to fabricate the story. Do you notice how they had to bribe the guards to concoct this story that the disciples had come and stolen the body, and to help them spread this fake news, this disinformation, they had to bribe them. Unlike the guards, there was no need for the women to be afraid. Matthew records the names of the women to support the veracity of their evidence. These women, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, are the first human witnesses of the empty tomb and the risen Christ. Compelling evidence. Women in the first century were disregarded when it came to evidence in a court. But here are the facts, that the first human eyewitnesses that the tomb was empty that Lord's Day and that Jesus was risen were these two women. The men must wait until the Lord appears to them in Galilee, as we read in verse 10. So the proof, the evidence that Jesus is the Son of God, that he is the Christ, is based on the historical fact, the historical evidence that this man, Jesus, was put in a tomb and that he, on that first Lord's Day, bodily rose from the dead. And the fact of the resurrection then must always, I repeat, must always be central to the gospel. The gospel is not that Jesus is your friend and will help you get through life. The gospel is not that Jesus is there to help you fulfill your little petty dreams. That's not the gospel. The gospel is that Christ died for our sins, was buried, and rose again, and is based on historical fact. Turn with me to the book of Acts, as we see the early apostles. What do they preach? They preach crucifixion of Jesus and his resurrection. Acts chapter 2, verse 22. Men of Israel, hear these words. Peter is preaching on the day of Pentecost in the center of Jerusalem. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourself know. They'd seen the miracles of Jesus. This Jesus, get it? The one that you just called Jesus, this Jesus, delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God. This was in God's eternal plan. You crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. Notice verse 24. God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. Verse 27, Peter quotes from Psalm 16, verse 27, you will not abandon my soul in Hades or let your Holy One see corruption. Verse 36, let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him, both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. You think you're just crucifying a man called Jesus? Absolutely not. He was bodily raised from the dead, and that proves that the one you crucified, God raised up and has made him both Lord and Christ. This is central to the gospel. I trust you believe it. There is no salvation apart from believing the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Paul says in Romans 10:9, if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. And in the great resurrection chapter, Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 14, if Christ has not been raised, can you imagine if Christ has not been raised? Then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. If Jesus Christ was not raised from the dead, I'm preaching in vain, and your faith, if you believe in this, is in vain. It's hopeless. It's a joke. Verse 17. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Sin. The great human dilemma. How are we going to have forgiveness of sins? Only one way, through receiving Christ as our Savior, who died for our sins. There can be no compromise on this. There can be no fudging of the gospel to make it more palatable to people. People today want to reduce sin, even from the church. If you have no sin, you don't need a Savior, Augustine said. If you believe what you like in the gospel and reject what you don't like, it is not the gospel you believe, but yourself. Isn't that right? You want to change the gospel? You want to make it more user-friendly, as we're sometimes told? Absolutely not. If you change the gospel, you no longer have the gospel. You have a false gospel. And rather than believing in the word of God, you're believing in yourself. No, if Jesus were not raised from the dead, the whole of Christianity collapses. It can be completely rejected. Yes, there are many, many religious figures. There are many people in human history who have done wonderful things and have been kind and have given great insight into living, into philosophy, and wonderful discoveries. That is true. But there's only one man who came from heaven to earth, the God-man, who is Jesus, who is the Christ, who is the Son of God. And the resurrection of Jesus Christ demonstrates the uniqueness of Jesus. So when you're speaking to your friends who don't believe, and they try and tell you you're bigoted because you're saying Jesus is the only way, ask them this question: who else has come from heaven to earth, died for our sins, was bodily raised from the dead, and has returned to heaven, and is alive forevermore? No other person than our Lord Jesus Christ. So it assures us that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Secondly, and this is important, the resurrection assures us that Jesus can be trusted. The resurrection assures us that Jesus can be trusted. You say, why do you say that? Because several times Jesus predicted not only his death by cruel men, but predicted his resurrection. I've got a number of references in Matthew. We're not going to read them all. But in Matthew chapter 16, the first reference there, this is where Peter declares and says to Jesus, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And then shortly after, in verse 21 of Matthew 16, we've seen this before, Matthew records, "From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem." Why must he go to Jerusalem? The place of death, the place of crucifixion. "He must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed, and on the third day be raised." There is a prediction of his resurrection on the third day. Chapter 17, verse 23. "And as they were gathering in Galilee, Jesus said to them, 'The Son of Man is about to be delivered into the hands of men, and they will kill him, and he will be raised on the third day.'" Now, when Jesus says something, he's going to do it. That's why the angel said in our passage, Matthew 28, verse 6, "He is not here, for he has risen as he said. Come see the place where he lay." So there are these various references in the gospel to our Lord Jesus Christ saying he was going to be killed and he was going to be resurrected. Christ is risen. He rose from the dead as he said. Now that means and reemphasizes and underlines this important truth in the Christian faith, that God can always be trusted. You are not always trustworthy. You have promised things and not delivered on them. Events out of your control, you change your mind, you forgot. What God says he will do. God never, ever breaks his word. Jesus says in John 10, Scripture cannot be broken. Paul says that it's impossible for God to lie. Christ predicts, I'm going to be raised the third day, and the angel says now, he has risen as he said. I want to say something very, very practical that impacts every single one of us. Trusting God's word ends needless anxiety and fear. Anyone know anything a little bit about worry, anxiety, concern, fear of the future? Every single one of us. Mark records, on the way to the tomb, the women are talking and saying, who's going to roll away the stone? The stone had already been rolled away. God was away ahead of them. And he sends an angel from heaven to come and to roll back the stone and to sit on it. God was at work. These women had heard, I'm sure, Jesus say, on the third day, I'm going to be resurrected. No need for them to worry about who's going to remove the stone. The anxiety, the concern of the women was needless. Why didn't they simply trust him? When Jesus says something, it's going to happen. What about the disciples? Why are they not there on the third day, just waiting for the resurrection? They had heard Jesus say on multiple occasions that he was going to be raised from the dead. No, John tells us they're behind locked doors, hiding for fear of the Jews. The one they had followed is crucified. Their dreams have come to an end. They thought the Messianic kingdom was going to be instituted there and then, and it's not. Tragic. Now the Jews are going to be after us, and they're hiding in spite of the fact that Jesus had told them, I will rise again. The fears and the concerns of the apostles and the women are completely needless. God always delivers on his promises. God can be trusted. He's a God who can do all things. And he demonstrated that he can be trusted by raising his son from the dead on the third day.
This is The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe, and a message titled, He Has Risen. You'll want to stick around to hear John's closing remarks, but first we want to tell you about a special free resource available exclusively from The Verdict. It's a special booklet by John called Life in the Kingdom, and it's written to help you understand the teaching of Jesus on what it really means to follow him and how to apply his practical teaching to your day-to-day life. And right now, we're offering this booklet absolutely free. So if you'd like to start approaching things from an eternal perspective, request your copy of Life in the Kingdom today by going to our website at theverdict.org. And while you're there, be sure to sign up for our monthly email list to get the latest ministry updates from John and be the first to know about upcoming series and events. It's all at theverdict.org. If you and your family want to help others hear the gospel message that changed your lives, consider playing a part in this radio ministry by making a donation. With your financial gift of any amount, you'll be helping spread the truth of God's word into new communities across the country and across the globe. We've made it quick and easy to give through our website at theverdict.org. And then don't forget to subscribe to The Verdict Podcast. That way you'll have access to all of these daily teachings, along with John's weekly podcast exclusive called Avizandum, where he addresses relevant topics from a biblical perspective. Just open up your podcast app and subscribe to The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe. Now, here's Pastor John Monroe.
Well, what's your verdict? I have to ask you this penetrating question. Do you believe that Jesus Christ bodily rose from the dead? If you don't believe that Jesus rose from the dead, you cannot be an authentic follower of Christ. Central to Christianity is the resurrection and the victory of our Lord Jesus over sin and death. The risen Christ will save you and in his grace grant you his life, his eternal life, so that because he lives, you will also live. Put your trust in him.
Thanks for joining us today on The Verdict. I'm Michelle Davies. Today's program with Pastor John Monroe was produced and sponsored by Calvary Church in Charlotte, North Carolina.